This is the day that the Lord has made.
Let us rejoice and be glad in it.
I'd like to welcome you all here the 21st Sunday after Pentecost. We'll follow your service and receive on the way in, beginning on page 3 with confession and absolution, followed by the sharing of the peace and the processional hymn. Our service today is out of the Divine Service 1 out of the Lutheran Service Book. We'll have hymn number 602, 690, 632, 770, 779, and 748. Let us rise. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. The truth is not in us.
But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all righteousness.
Let us kneel and be seated for the confession of sins. Let us then confess our sins to God, our Father.
Most merciful God, we confess that our nature is sinful and unclean. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We justly deserve your present and eternal punishment. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your holy name. Amen.
Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his Son to die for you, and for his sake forgives you all your sins. As a called and ordained servant of Christ, and by his authority, I therefore forgive you all your sins, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Let us rise and share and greet one another in the peace of the Lord.
Let us pray to the Lord. For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord. For this holy house, and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord.
Testament. took from his. Let us therefore strive to enter that rest, so that no one may fall by the same sort of disobedience. For the word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing the division of soul and of spirit, of joints and of marrow, discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart. And no creature is hidden from his sight, but all are naked and exposed to the eyes of him, to whom we must give an account. This is the word of the Lord.
We rise for the singing of the Alleluia verse.
So I got some things too. Sometimes it just takes a little luck. So I've got some cards here, and I want you guys, there's only 10 of them, I want you to pick the Ace of Spades, because I brought the Ace of Spades with me, okay? I want you to pick the Ace of Spades. Can you do that? Like, every time if I mix them up? You want to pick one? Go ahead, pick one. Oh, wait, don't turn it over. The Ace of Spades is still in my pocket.
Oh.
Oh. It doesn't matter how hard you try, right? You can turn over. None of them are the Ace of Spades, right? But I did bring it with me. You needed my help, right? That's what we get in the Bible. We can work hard, and we can do so much, and we can get better and better, and sometimes we do really well, and that's really good. And sometimes it just takes a little luck, right? You just got to be in the right place at the right time, and everything goes good. But everything is not good, because in the gospel lesson, we heard more about that rest. Pastor read Jesus' words. He tells the disciples of how difficult the soccer ball sometimes. Would it have been hard to pick the Ace of Spades if I didn't put it down there? Impossible. That's what the disciples said to Jesus. Jesus said, oh, how difficult it is to get to that rest in the kingdom of God. And the disciples said, yeah, it's like impossible. Impossible. And Jesus said, all things are possible with God, right? Right. And you know what? Mrs. Hosmer also read the same words we heard last week. It says, Jesus' words, God's words, and today, if you hear his voice, don't harden your hearts. Listen to God's word. Where do we find God's word? In the Bible. Listen to God's word. Where else do we hear God's word? Where can we listen to God's word? In church. What a great place to be. Right? Will you say a prayer with me and remember those things?
Dear God,
thank you for your gifts. And your grace to us. Help us remember we need you for our salvation. Amen. All right, since we heard some of the same words as last week, I brought, if you were here, the same treat as last week. So have a Hershey kiss, or it's a Hershey hug if you want. And have a great week.
We continue with the sermon in Hope of the World on page 10.
Thank you.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Picture for a moment that it is all over. The trumpet is sounded. Jesus has returned. The dead have been raised. The living have ascended. And everyone is brought before the judgment seat of God. You're watching the Lord on his throne separating the sheep from the goats. The sheep are sent marching through the pearl gates of the heavenly city of New Jerusalem, and the goats to spend eternity in the lake of fire prepared for the devil and his angels. When you come before the throne of God to be judged, what will you do? What will you offer to God in exchange for your salvation? Will you pull out your blue U.S. passport, show him I'm an American citizen, I deserve eternal life? Or do you produce your resume or your CV to show how your skills and hard work were rewarded by a continuing upward climb in your career? Will you bring out a picture of your children to show what a good job you did as a parent? What will you offer to God? Perhaps you can show him a picture of your house or your car or your investment portfolio. Maybe you can tell him about all the good things that you have done to serve others. What will you offer to God on Judgment Day? The truth is, you have nothing to offer to God in exchange for your soul. On Judgment Day, you will come before the throne of God with empty hands. You'll come before the throne of God as a helpless child with nothing to offer to save yourself. This is radical helplessness. God does not care about the things of this world. All of the things that seem so important in this life will have no value on the last day. The only thing that will matter is whether or not you are clothed in the robe of Jesus' righteousness that covers all your sins. Are you protected by the blood of Jesus? Are you a baptized child of God, born again in water and the Spirit, marked by the cross, redeemed by Christ the crucified? All you will have on Judgment Day is the forgiveness of sins earned by the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus poured out upon you in your baptism, in the Word of God, and in the body and blood of Christ in Holy Communion. You come before God with open, empty hands, and Jesus fills you and saves you. Even though you are by nature blind, dead, and an enemy of God, he gives you the gift of eternal life. Each Sunday, you come here to the altar with open, empty hands to receive the body and blood of Jesus given and shed for you. You come to God with open, empty hands, and so you live life also open-handed. And into your open, empty hands, God places things for your management. You don't own these things, but you are a steward of these things. What God puts into your care is yours to care for during your time on earth. Children, family, home, transportation, finances, belongings, employment, skills, time. These things are important in this life, and you are a manager of God's gifts, which you hold in your open hands. There's great temptation in this life to try to get the most you can and close your fist and hold on to it tightly. Far too many cling to money. Sadly, it's quite normal for people to fear, love, and trust in money above all things. And this is a great danger, because if you love money and cling to money, you're not able to love God and cling to the cross. Also, if you love money, you will never be content. We hear in Ecclesiastes 5, He who loves money will not be satisfied with money, nor he who loves wealth with his income. This also is vanity. You cannot cling to money because you will lose your salvation. We read in Matthew 6, "No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other." You cannot serve God and money. Much less importantly, clinging to money will make it so that you can never be satisfied and you won't enjoy the gifts that God has given. King Solomon gives sage advice about the satisfaction and joy of workers while the wealthy worry. Sweet is the sleep of a laborer, whether he eats little or much, but the full stomach of the rich will not let him sleep. And behold, what I have seen to be good and fitting is to eat and drink and find enjoyment in all the toil with which one toils under the sun the few days of his life that God has given him. For this is his lot. Hold the gifts that God gives you in open hands and enjoy the work that he has given you to do. The work you are given to do is a gift from God. Whether that's being a student or working a part-time job or manufacturing or teaching or plumbing or running a business or caring for your children or some other honest work. Work is a gift from God. In retirement, you find new ways to serve others. Retirement is an opportunity to serve others in ways you were not able to do before. God has created you for work. In our gospel reading, we see that 2,000 years ago, folks' view of money is very much like today, and Jesus' teachings turns all of this upside down. And Jesus looked around and said to his disciples, "How difficult it will be for those who have wealth to enter the kingdom of God." This is baffling. It makes no sense to the disciples. They, like us, equate wealth with blessings from God. God, of course, loves rich people. Rich people have it all together. Wealth is a sign of God's favor, isn't it? The disciples would not let little children come up to Jesus, but they ushered the rich young man right up to Jesus because rich people are good, right? Jesus' teaching is radical, then and now. And he repeats it to make sure they understand. And the disciples were amazed at his words. But Jesus said to them again, "Children, how difficult it is to enter the kingdom of God. It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich person to enter the kingdom of God." And they were exceedingly astonished and said to him, "Then who can be saved?" Jesus looked at them and said, "With man it is impossible, but not with God, for all things are possible with God. Your riches won't get you into the kingdom of God. Jesus will." This further illuminates what Jesus taught earlier in Mark 10. "Truly I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God like a child shall not enter it." Little children have nothing to offer to God, and they know it. Children simply receive the gift of forgiveness as a promise from their dear Lord Jesus. Children know that they are helpless and needy. They know they need a Savior. Rich people too often want to believe they're powerful and independent, but they are also helpless and needy. They also need a Savior. Rich people need Jesus. And in case you think I'm talking about those other rich people, all of you, by world standards, are quite rich. To be rich in the world is to have more than one pair of shoes and get to choose what you eat. You are rich, and you need Jesus. You come to God with open, empty hands, and he fills you with forgiveness. You receive the gift of forgiveness as a promise from your dear Lord Jesus, and so you fear, love, and trust in God above all things. You come to God with open, empty hands, and He fills them with His love. He fills them with forgiveness. You come to God with open, empty hands, and He fills them with the things that you need for life in this world. Now, if you work hard, you're careful with debt, you live within your means, there's a good chance that the amount of money and goods under your stewardship will grow. Sometimes it can grow to large amounts. Always hold it in open hands. Beware of the temptation to fear, love, and trust in money. Hold the gifts God gives you in open hands with your fingers spread. Let the gifts flow into your hands from God. Live within your means. Save some for a rainy day and let the gifts flow out to others. Be generous. Use your money and goods to love God and love your neighbor. Care for those who are given to you and also for those in your community and world. For those who own or manage a business, you have a great burden to manage the business well, to provide for your employees and their families. Be deliberate in your giving. Give a generous, regular first fruits offering to the Lord through His church to fund the continued proclamation of His good news. Give to groups doing the Lord's work of caring for others. Lend to others not expecting to be repaid. Tip liberally. With money and belongings, be wise as serpents and innocent as doves. Know that whatever gifts you have in this life, they can be used to help others in this life. But they have no value for eternity. All the things of this world that seem so important will mean nothing on the last day. On Judgment Day, you will stand before Jesus with the only thing that matters, the robe of Jesus' righteousness covering all your sins. You need Jesus, and Jesus has given you all that you need. And in the end, that's all that matters. Amen. And now may the peace of God, the peace that is beyond understanding, keep your hearts and minds in true faith until our Lord Jesus returns in glory. Amen. We rise and confess our faith in the words of the Apostles' Creed. Your prayers today, remember Becky Cross, who has cancer, Jeff Snell, Alan, and Alita's son, who's in hospice care, for Doris Kramer, who's been hospitalized with heart problems and pneumonia, and for Dina Kohler, Alan and Alita Snell's granddaughter, who's going to have knee surgery. In peace, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the church, that she may proclaim our Lord Jesus Christ boldly, with whom all things are possible, and by whose death and resurrection, the kingdom has been opened. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the servants of Christ's church, that they would be spared from love of wealth and fear of their difficult task, to be steeled to set aside every comfort for Christ's sake and for the gospel.
Let us pray to the Lord. For our homes and every household to find eternal rest in Jesus and his word, and for fathers and mothers that they would be diligent in teaching their children and be preserved from hardness of heart, let us pray to the Lord. For our nation and its leaders, that in true wisdom they would promote honest labor, temporal protection, and fitting enjoyment under the sun, that all Christians would serve Christ in their citizenship and callings, and that our hearts would be occupied not with the vanity of riches that perish, but with the true joy of Christ. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the brokenhearted, the crushed in spirit, the sick, and those in need, especially Becky, Jeff, Doris, and Dina, that God will hear the cry of his righteous and deliver them out of all their troubles. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For all who draw near to God's throne of grace, especially those who eat and drink the blessed sacrament this day, that only fast through our high priest and his confession we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
Into your hands, O Lord, we commend all for whom we pray, trusting in your mercy through Jesus Christ our Lord. Gathered in the name and remembrance of Jesus, we beg you, O Lord, to forgive, renew, and strengthen us with your word and spirit. Grant us faithfully to eat his body and drink his blood, as he bids us to do in his own testament. Gather us together and pray from the ends of the earth to celebrate with all the faithful the marriage feast of the Lamb and his kingdom which has no end. Graciously receive our prayers, deliver and preserve us. To you alone, O Father, be all glory, honor, and worship of the Son and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to them, saying, take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. In the same way, also he took the cup after supper. And when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. Savior Jesus Christ, strengthen you and preserve you in true faith unto life everlasting. Go in peace. Your sins are forgiven. Thank you.
blood of your Lord and Savior Jesus Christ strengthen you and preserve you in true faith of the life everlasting. Go in peace.
Thank you.
and Savior Jesus Christ strengthen you and preserve you in true faith unto life everlasting. Pardon these. Your sins are forgiven.
Shine.